It's time for Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey with Daniel Pryor once again this week. And good afternoon, Daniel.
And good afternoon to you.
Last show of the year of 2016. And, of course, we're getting into the season where people are thinking about those New Year's resolutions, and we're going to kind of be resting more on not so much the counseling side of your practice this week, but more the life coaching aspect.
Yeah, that's the way to say it, sure. Yeah,
and you're called a counselor and life coach. Tell us again, what do you mean by a life coach?
Well, counseling is coaching, and coaching is counseling, but partly maybe because some people need a particular kind of help, and maybe they feel like they don't need counseling because they don't really have problems, but they'd like to have someone to kind of assess their kind of the way they're approaching life and see if they can get some gain some advantage. You know, I look at it a lot like a sports coach or something like that, where a person has a skill, but they'd like to hone it a little bit and sharpen up, so they might even hire a personal trainer in that way. But eventually, all of the counseling becomes coaching, because of course the goal of counseling is to put tools in people's hands and then help them to learn how to use those tools. And by the time you get to that, you're really just coaching people along. And that's really where I like to get people. I like to get people away from the idea that I'm, once sick, always sick, and get them into the idea that, I've got these tools. It's just a matter of me just getting better at using the tools and more consistent at using the tools. Then you're just really coaching, and people are coming in probably less frequently. So I have some people that I see twice a month. I have some people I see once a month. I have some people that call me occasionally and say, "Have you got some time this week?"
Mm-hmm.
And
kind of a checkup.
Just come in, and they'll show me that they've been using the tools and things have been improving, and we'll tweak things a little bit like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's the time of year where people are wanting to maybe make some changes, some personal changes, some habits they want to change. Yeah. Maybe they want to change how they're dealing with their spouse. So that might feel like counseling again. Yeah. But the only person you can really change is yourself. We all know that. So this is a time to make some changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I talked about in relationships, there are ways that we can be strategic and help others to change. But you're right. The change has to come from within. If someone doesn't want to change or they're not committed to change, there's not a lot that we can do. The old saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And that's absolutely true. Well, everybody wants to change something about himself or herself. And I think that one of the things that keeps us from changing a lot of times is kind of an underlying persuasion that we can't really change. And I've heard people say, whether it's a couple wanting to change the way they communicate or the way they are together, or it's an individual wanting to change the way that I've heard them say, we just keep coming back to the same place. And so I think part of the reason we keep coming back to the same place is that we really don't have the belief that we can change or that we can't change significantly, not enough to make the difference. And so one of the ways I start off in whether it's coaching or counseling, and I talk about making change, and again, whether it's a couple trying to change the way they communicate or an individual trying to change the way he or she, you certainly have to have a desire and you have to have a plan. How much desire do I have to have? Well, enough to make the change. So sometimes we have to build a case for making the change. Mm. You've got to have the plan. Well, I think a desire has to be empowered by need. So that's why there are lots of things that you've wanted in life, I'm sure, and your wife and my wife has wanted, and I've wanted, and my kids have wanted, and your kids have wanted, and never materialized. Mm. I can remember growing up seeing a car that I would really like to have, or a motorcycle that I'd really like to have, or a musical instrument I'd really like to have. But I didn't want it bad enough to work out a plan and actually put stuff aside. You know, so I didn't really need it, didn't really have to have it. And if that's the way we approach change, we're probably not likely to change.
There's a lot of things that could fall into that category. Mm-hmm. We say we want to change, but do we really want to? I would think you've gotten very good at recognizing that and challenging people with that. If they keep coming to you and saying, I want to change this, that. And after a while, your antenna just go up and you're able to just zero and say, you don't really want to. Why don't you just get honest?
Yeah, because I know that that the things that I teach and from personal experience that it doesn't take that long to change. So, for example, if I'm talking to a married couple and they're coming back for even a month, certainly 2 months, with the same issues, I say somebody's not being honest. Somebody's not putting all the cards on the table, because the things that we're learning here are very easy to implement. And I know from personal experience, too, in my own marriage, if you get your head set in the right direction, it doesn't take very long at all to turn things around. Mm. So we've had discussions about trust. You know, how long does it take to rebuild trust? Well, if you're trustworthy, not that long. But if you're not trustworthy, it can take forever. Mm. You know, how long does it take to convince the other person of my love? If you love the other person, not very long. It can begin to take only things like days or, you know, a week or so before you actually start to see change coming. Of course, you have to be consistent, because if you take your foot off the gas and coast, then you're actually worse off than, you know, in those situations when you started. But the desire to change has to be empowered with need. You've got to see that you really have got to get this done. So by nature, we're going to go the way of least resistance. Right.
That's it. By nature, I would say by human nature. Mm-hmm. Isn't that kind of the human condition? Mm-hmm. It kind of takes the path of least. It's the rare person who really applies themselves, mm-hmm. at least naturally. Mm-hmm. I mean, we need some outside coaching. Yeah, yeah. We need somebody. Mm-hmm. We need God. We need the Holy Spirit, obviously, ultimately. Mm-hmm. It's almost like to change, you need some kind of grace, mm-hmm. to really kind of light the way and show you your need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You're saying,
I mean, it's not willpower. It's not just willpower.
You have to really see your need. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, certainly in the realm of our salvation and so many other things in life that are God that supplies our needs, we can maybe get along in some ways, mm-hmm. Ignoring that and be humanistic about it. But before long, we're going to come to the end of that and realize that I have a need for God.
Absolutely.
If I don't realize I have a need for God.
We forget that. And mm-hmm. But those are the touch points in our life where we really have an awakening, mm-hmm. a revival or whatever, personal mm-hmm. revival, mm-hmm. is this really deep mm-hmm. sense of, I need mm-hmm. God. Mm-hmm. I need mm-hmm. to change this or that. Mm-hmm. And that comes, I think, almost from God, mm-hmm. has to really point that out mm-hmm. in you. Mm-hmm. We hear about even in recovery stuff, this rock bottom, they hit rock mm-hmm. bottom. Mm-hmm. And then they really can look up and they say, I need. And it's not about willpower. It's about kind of an inspiration that mm-hmm. comes. But then you have to act on it. You can't just lie. Mm-hmm. rely always mm-hmm. just on an inspiration.
Mm-hmm. And the idea of seeing the need, that's really what we mean by rock bottom. Because, you know, you can look at a person and say, well, certainly that must be rock bottom. But the rock bottom is the part where that person realizes that I need. I can't continue this way. I'm not going to make it. Yeah, I'm not going to make it. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times that's, you know, in the life and death issues in life and the life and the and so many other ways, we recognize that I really need God's help. So that goes for any kind of change. If you don't see the need, we're just going to continue to go the way of least resistance. And so what we have to do then is construct a powerful argument against our own resistance.
What do you mean, construct a powerful argument against your resistance? What do you mean by that?
So I've done this in my own life where it can be a small thing, it can be a large thing, but say, for example, I've been doing the radio probably for, I don't know, 6 years or so, something like that. Mm. And there, when I first started off, I was really bad at it. I've gotten better, believe it or not. If you haven't heard me over the years, you might think, you might wonder if I've gotten better. But I've gotten better. If I listened to those early shows back then, I just couldn't bear to listen to them. And so there was a point at which, not once, but a couple of times anyway, where I would be talking to my wife about how much of a stressor this is on top of everything else. And she would say, well, then why don't you just quit? But I had already been down this road. So the thing is that I would say to myself, no, I can't quit, because I would be back where I was certain years ago, asking myself, what am I going to do? And I was there at one time, and I thought it through. I thought it through a lot, and I came to the conclusion, this is what I need to do. Mm. I need to do this. Now, I've already constructed that argument. So when it comes around to, well, why don't you quit? I can't quit because I need to do this. Mm. Well, then I just simply have to get better, because there is not an alternative. Mm. And that's what I mean by constructing a powerful argument. The alcoholic might come to the place where he realizes, I am going to lose my wife, mm-hmm. my family, mm-hmm. my life,
if I don't stop this. And some people stay sober.
Yeah. And there's a realization here, because I think an alcoholic might say that, or a drug addict, or a person with an addiction to gambling might say that. I had a man one time that had an addiction with gambling, and we went through all this stuff, and he just kept on gambling. So he was saying the words, but he wasn't realizing the need to make the change. And so we have to build that powerful argument against our resistance, and we have to recognize that we have a dire need. This change that I'm trying to make in my life is absolutely necessary. It may not be life and death.
Well, this is where the power of denial comes in. I mean, I've heard that with the 12-step and alcohol. That's the main thing that those programs are about, is to break the denial mm-hmm. that you have a problem, that you need, mm-hmm. that you need to change. Mm-hmm. Because people can just say, no, I can kind of do this and be okay. But that's just crazy.
And I think part of that is not realizing what that behavior is costing me. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we're not talking about addiction. Maybe we are, but maybe we're not talking to people with addictions right now.
Maybe
we're
talking to somebody. Keep the house clean.
Yeah, keep the house clean. Do a regular daily exercise.
Sure.
Something like that. But building the argument for the need is a part of building the argument for the need is actually being able to see the cost of what my current behavior, what it's actually costing me. And so sometimes that takes some thought, and sometimes we have to build to it. So I might have built an argument that was good enough to get me going, but then at some point I kind of want to throw in the towel, because this and then I have to review that, and maybe I've got to see some other areas where, well, you know, there's even a greater cost of this, but the cost element is very closely associated with the need. So we have to recognize what my current situation is costing me, because we have to build a case for dire need to make this change. Mm. And that's our starting point.
Well, a great discussion this week, timely, as we're heading into the new year. People think about New Year's resolutions, and there is hope. You can change. Discussing that this week on the Sound Mind Show with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. If people need some help, maybe as the new year, they say, I need some life coaching, I need some counseling. How do people get in touch with you, Daniel?
Yeah, you can call me at 425-778-6169. That's 425-778-6169. I have offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. People also email me through the website at BibleBasedCounselor.com.
We'll be back with more of the Sound Mind broadcast with Daniel Pryor here in just a moment.
Hi, this is Daniel Pryor with an encouraging word for struggling marriages. You know, it's never too late to do the right thing if a husband and wife will fully commit to one another and apply a few biblically based fundamentals of intimate relationship. As a marriage counselor, I teach these fundamentals and their use. To learn more about how these might help your marriage, contact me through my website at BibleBasedCounselor.com or call me at 425-778-6169.
Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. And now your host, Daniel Pryor.
Mark Holland along on the journey once again with Daniel this week, looking at the subject of You Can Change, a timely message as we're heading into the new year. Why is that? New Year's resolutions, this is the time when people make all these, particularly for exercise. You know, though,
I guess it's just a new beginning.
I must confess, last year at this time, I got a health club membership. And I told my wife I didn't really do that because I knew I wouldn't go. Uh-huh. And sure enough, I haven't been since.
Yeah.
And we're still paying for it.
I think probably a lot of the health club membership cards and the commitments to exercise come on the heels of Thanksgiving and Christmas where we've probably put on 5 pounds.
So that's definitely so for me. So how would I walk me through this a little bit as we're looking at some ideas on you can change and here are some practical ways to do that. I'm a person who obviously needs some exercise, some diet. I'm diabetic type 2. It's costing me a lot of money and drugs and things to keep my diabetes under control, and it's still having problems. I've had lots of proof that exercise helps me quite a bit with my diabetes, but I don't seem to be able to really apply myself. Take me through, what would you do if I was in a life coaching session with you? What would you do to kind of snap me out of it or...
Well, first of all, as we just was, we were just mentioning at the close of the previous part of the show is, you know, building the case for the dire need. You're doing that by looking at what's this actually costing me. And then the other part that we mentioned early in the show is the thing that kind of plagues us a lot of times is the idea that, well, you know, I've tried to change. I can't change or I can't change significantly. All of the change I could make or do wouldn't matter. So I think part of it is, you know, we build this argument that says, I have to do this. There isn't an alternative. And I think it sounds like you're probably there.
Now I'm getting close. Yeah.
So then we go into, and one of the things we've talked about before on the show is an order of operations. So the order of operation for change would be, first of all, what's my goal? And the goal must be realistic.
Realistic, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that for me, because I'm kind of an extreme personality. It's kind of all or nothing. It's got to all this or none. I don't seem to be able to. Moderation is something I need to learn. I would think moderation has got to be something you've got to have worked in there.
Yeah. We'll use this to kind of springboard the kind of the remainder of the show. We're going to talk about the order of operations will be. I'll go through them quickly and we'll just...
Okay, a realistic goal.
So a realistic goal. So I look at the realistic goal, or you look at your realistic goal and you say, okay, well, to meet that goal, do I need to change? This is part of building the argument for, I absolutely need this change. Am I doing okay with what I'm doing or do I need to change? And so you come to the conclusion, no, I do need to change. And that's just simply looking at projecting my behavior or my health along a period of time and saying, yeah, if I don't make some changes, I can see where this is leading. So I do need to make change. Now, that's number two. Number three would be, well, what do I actually have to change? What do I really have to change? Because if the program that I put in action doesn't directly connect with my goal and I don't see that connection, I'm going to discard the process and I'll be back here in a month or so saying, well, you know, so what exactly do I need to change? You know, so I need to change my eating habits and my exercise routines or something like that. Well, the more specific you can get, the better chance you have of pulling it off. So I'd like someone to say, I need to change this part, cut back on these things in my eating, and I'm going to do this kind of exercise. Okay, how am I going to actually make those changes? That's kind of where we've gone now. So this is number four. What's my goal? Do I need to change? What do I need to change? And how am I going to make those changes? This is how I'm going to cut back on these kinds of food. Now, that could be I'm going to get one of those charts and keep track of my
blood. Well, for me, it's the blood sugar and stuff. Okay. So for the diabetic. Yeah.
Okay, and is that something that you're regular at, that you're pretty good at?
When I'm getting ready to go see the doctor, I take pretty good records.
Okay, so you'd have to say, this is how I'm going to keep this record. Mm-hmm. And how am I going to keep that record? Is this going to be something that I have on the door, or the bedroom door, the bathroom mirror? You know, how am I actually going to do that? am I going to get encouragement from my wife? Am I going to be accountable to someone?
So keeping records, see, keeping some kind of written thing, is, you think, is part of this?
Well, I think that, yeah, when it gets down to
whatever
how
it is,
when it gets down to how am I going to make the change, you've got to put into, you got to put in place some sort of a mechanism that you will actually do. I'm going to do. So I have a simple little routine that I've been doing now. I'm pretty proud of myself. I've been doing it now for probably 6 months. Now, I haven't been regular, but I've been amazingly regular. Just an exercise routine that I've gone through. It's not a fun exercise routine, but it doesn't take very long. And so part of how am I going to do this is I remind myself, it takes you 15 seconds. This is not a 30-minute workout. It takes you 15 seconds. Just get down and do it.
That's where you say you got that on a reminder. We need reminders.
Yeah, so the reminder is the kind of the last one. So to go through them again, what is my goal? And to reach that goal, do I actually have to change? Now, somebody might say, my goal is to stay at my regular weight. Well, do I actually have to make a change to do that? I don't know. So if my goal requires change, then what change do I have to make? And how am I going to make those specific changes? And then the fifth one is the reminder. How am I going to remind myself? How am I going to remind myself? And so let's go back to how. And this is a little bit of review, and we may have covered this, but how a plan should be realistic, we said, something that I can and will actually do, and it should include getting help and encouragement. Not everybody is equally motivated, so I just wanted to throw that in there. It sounds like maybe a repeat, but it should involve maybe help, encouragement from the wife or the spouse, the husband, friends that we're with. Maybe I'm sharing this with people so that I'll become accountable. Maybe I'm in a group. But a plan, unless you're very, very well self-motivated.
And very few are. I think that's part of breaking into that denial. Very few people are. They've got to have at least one person they're talking to about their situation.
And then the reminder is essential. So the reminder could be some sort of a mission statement. Different ways to remind ourselves. We've got a lot of different ways we can remind ourselves now. Almost everybody carries some sort of a phone around with them, and that could be something that there's a message that comes up on the phone every time I see it, or. I like the idea of a bookmarker, writing down the mission statement. And if a person is a person who reads the Bible every morning, every evening, a bookmarker for the Bible that has the mission statement in there. The mission statement should have on it.
You're talking about a personal mission statement?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that look like?
Let's say a person wants to get over to an addiction, for example, and they don't want other people to know this. So maybe they want to, if they're going to put a bookmarker and they think somebody might see it, they might want to, instead of writing out the mission statement, they might want to use like signs or things.
Acrostic maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or something where they glance at it, it reminds them of the order of operation. What's my goal? What do I have to change? How am I going to change it? And that's the reminder. And then the other thing is, I like to put on there the cost. So I've done this before, make a bookmarker for myself. And in very cryptic ways, I represent on the bookmarker, this is the change that I'm making. This is what it's going to cost me if I don't. And so this is why I'm doing this. This is how I'm doing it.
You create that powerful argument.
Yeah. And so
keep going.
And so you see it now. If the bookmarker stops jumping out at me, then I'll make another bookmarker and use colors or something like that. But what you want to do is you want to have this thing just kind of flash up as a reminder, almost just flashing up as a reminder, so that if I see it a couple times a day, I'm going to be a lot more prone to. The other thing is, I want to remind myself something along the lines of, you've only lost, and I say this to the people who are trying to make change, you've only failed when you choose not to continue. Mm-hmm. That's the only time you fail. So, and remember that something. Tell myself something is always, always better than nothing. Something is always better than nothing. Don't eat that last cookie is always better than going ahead. Or, a couple of push-ups is always better than none at all. A couple setups always better than none at all. Mm-hmm. Walking for 15 minutes is always better than not walking at all. So something is always better than nothing. If for no other reason, it gives you a sense of value, control, and power that is really fundamental to your continuing that.
Okay, well, you can change. There is hope. This great message as we get into the new year. And maybe you need a person to coach you along the way for the first couple of months here of the new year, maybe once a month. You see people sometimes once a week. What's the average? Probably once a month, maybe?
The average is probably a couple times a month.
A couple times a month.
Yeah, that's probably the average.
So whether an individual issue you're going through, or maybe, again, you do a lot of work with marriages, people have problems with their kids, family issues, you cover the whole range there. Daniel Pryor, how do people get in touch with you?
You can call me at 425-778-6169. 425-778-6169. People email me through the website, BibleBasedCounselor.com. Offices are in Kirkland and Edmonds. And these shows, by the way, are podcasted at that same website, BibleBasedCounselor.com.
Okay, great shows here on Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor on KCIS.
You've been listening to Sound Mind with life coach and counselor Daniel Pryor. For more information about Daniel Pryor and his services, visit BibleBasedCounselor.com. Daniel has offices in Kirkland and Edmonds. To make an appointment, call 425-778-6169. Be sure to tune in each Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. for Sound Mind with Daniel Pryor.